Before we get started, Scott and I had discussed this. We would like to pray for our pastor. We're just so blessed to have him and his family here in our congregation to lead us and teach us and watch out for us. And he's away, like Scott said, that he's away vacationing, recouping and just having fun with his family. And we just felt that it would be the right thing to do for not just us to pray for him, but to have the whole congregation, you know, to bow ahead and pray for our pastor, our leader. So I can start. Father God, I do thank you for our pastor. We pray, Father, that you would just bless everything that he puts his hand to, Father. That you would give him rest, Father. That you would give him just sweet communion with you and with his family, Father. I pray that you would just loose angels to be around about him, to lead him, guide him, to protect him, to keep him safe, Father. I pray that in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, too, we lift up Pastor Phil and Alexa, Eve and Sophia, Heavenly Father, just have a great time of reuniting together, Heavenly Father. Just bless their family and bless their traveling and their safety coming home, Heavenly Father. Just a quick, safe trip home, and we just welcome them back into our church here. We ask this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, before I get started, too, we are also so blessed to have a worship team that can lead us into the Holy of Holies like we have. Amen. We are blessed. So, anyways, we've been talking, Pastor's been teaching us a lot about the Holy Spirit. And it's really started me to really evaluating over the years what the Holy Spirit has actually done in my life. And I thought, well, is that really what we need to hear after we've heard all that? And apparently this is a very important subject, the Holy Spirit. And I just felt God leading me to just share some things on the Holy Spirit and some of my experiences too. But first, I've got some thoughts and some things I've read and things about the Holy Spirit that I'd like to share with you first until I sort of tell some of my stories of what has happened in my life over the years. I was thinking about in the process of life and when things are happening, sometimes we don't really see the big picture. But looking back, I can say, like they say, hindsight is always 20/20, anyways, let me start share some stuff about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to earth on the day of Pentecost to do the work the Father sent him to do. He will not leave until God's eternal plan is accomplished. He was the Father's gift to the church to be God's administrators on earth. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit offers eternal life to all who will accept Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to save our souls and change us into the image of Christ. It was when we accepted the sacrifice for our sins that we can begin to know what the Holy Spirit intended for man when he created him, a personal relationship with the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Now we have like an image, I think, that we can perceive like the Trinity. Like we have the Father God. We have an image like he's our biological father, looking out for us. He's the Father of Jesus, the creator of the universe. We have an image. And even Jesus Christ, we have an image of him, the Savior, the Son of God, the door, the sheep gate, you know, the way. You know, he is was sent here for us to be a sacrifice for our sins. I'd like to read in John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, God has come to earth as a human who knew no sin to be the scapegoat for us, that we could be set free from the law of sin and death and enter into God's kingdom. God had to send, basically, almost like himself, but it was his Son. He had to send him legally as a person, but sin-free, to be able to buy back the sin that we were had a hold on mankind, so that we could enter into the kingdom of God. You know, there's symbols, too, that are used to describe the Holy Spirit. You know, he's like a gentle dove, as rain coming down to earth, as fire, as a cloud, fire and a cloud to lead the Israelite people to the promised land. Like the wind, you know, you can feel it, you can hear it, but you can't see it. You know, but who is he really? The Holy Spirit is God. He is a spiritual person. It's God's gift to the church. God's desire for all his children to know him through the true fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to read John 14:26. But the Counselor and the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He's the Counselor, the Teacher. The Holy Spirit also has emotions. You know, he can be grieved, he can be vexed, he can be offended, he can be quenched. On the other hand, he delights, you know, in our obedience and in our faith, in our, you know, honoring and esteeming the Father in love, in unity. We also know the Holy Spirit has power. You know, we've read about things he has done in the Bible or heard testimonies of what he's done in other people's lives or even in our own. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, can make our lives victorious as we hear and obey him in all things. It is our responsibility to properly respond to him by yielding to him in obedience, by believing him, honoring him, and living our lives. We need to realize that we are responding to a person, not an influence or an it. His loving response to us will encourage us to strengthen our relationship with him. As we mature in our walk with God, we can make the true heart sanctification in relating to the Holy Spirit by enjoying his response as children of God. You know, I can, even as a child, when I was a young child, my family didn't really go to church, but I can remember on my bedroom wall there was like a prayer, and the prayer was, now I lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. So how, you know, why do I remember that? You know, I believe the Holy Spirit was working in my life. You know, as a child too, even though my parents didn't really attend church, or I believe my mom must have when she was young, but they bought me a Bible when I was 7 years old for Christmas, and it was a King James Version. I still have it. I mean, I wouldn't get rid of it for anything, but this Bible had the greatest pictures, you know, and I don't know as I really ever read it much, but I always looked at the pictures, and I got it out yesterday. It has great pictures of all the big scenes. I mean, it was, and I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit was looking out for me even then, you know. When I was about 10, my mom, there was a little church down the road that my mom started taking us to church there. And I was sort of always had this, you know, reluctancy of for anything, seemed like. But my cousin, you know, he told me, he said, "Man," he said, "I got saved. It was the greatest feeling. I felt so free. I felt like renewed." And I started listening to what they were saying, and I decided that I was going to accept Christ. And so one morning I went forward and I accepted Christ, and he was right. I felt renewed. I felt like I was walking on the clouds. And but it wasn't long after that that little church shut down, and I just never went again. And I'd like to read a verse here in Ephesians 11, or Ephesians 1:11 through 14. "In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to in hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having been believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of glory." You know, we were chosen, we were marked with the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. Now, when I put a deposit down on something, what's that mean? That means that I plan on returning and getting it. You know, it's a guarantee to our inheritance. You know, I can look back, and after I was saved and I was, you know, becoming a teenager, and I was pretty much could do anything I wanted to do. And I'd got to the sort of the age, you know, where I was almost old enough to really get in trouble, right? I was almost there. And I sorry. I met my wife. We were like 15. It was serious. No, but there was just something about her that was just, you know, even at a young age, I knew, I think she's the one, you know. But she was brought up in the Baptist church, and she was very cut and dry. There was no gray areas. She was, it was either black or it was white. She's still that way. And there was, but my relationship with her kept me from so much trouble that I could have got into. Unbelievable. I don't know where I'd have been if I wouldn't have met her. I would have, you know, who knows. I don't know. But anyways, we got married. I was a really mature 19-year-old. And she was almost 19. But really, it was the best thing. It was the second best thing I ever did. I mean, accepting Christ was the first, for sure. But that was the second best thing. And we got married. And this July 28th, that'll be 46 years. We took and she grew up in a church and we went there and I mean, man, I still have tight relationships with people that went there. But it seemed like my walk was how do I put this? I grew, but it was almost got to be like an intellectual Christianity for me. I didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, and I barely like knew much really about Him. You know, you knew about Jesus, you knew about God, but the Holy Spirit was, you know, where was He? Was He really? After the apostles passed away, just sort of took a subordinate seat somewhere and didn't have anything else to do. But there was something happening about that time, too. Actually, it was sort of the tail end of the charismatic movement. And there was a lot of people, you know, being finding that in all kinds of congregations everywhere. I mean, it was a widespread thing, and maybe it started in the Catholic Church. But it went through the whole church, and anyone that wanted a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit could step into it. And I was very resistant to this. I was really resistant to it, and a very stiff neck, you know, about this. And there was a lot of people I knew that were coming into this, was very frustrated, and now I think back, it was probably the Holy Spirit putting conviction on me for being so stubborn. I remember one Sunday morning, the spaceship Challenger had crashed. The pastor asked for a silent prayer for those astronauts, so the congregation got real quiet, and I had decided that it was time to quit resisting the Holy Spirit. And so I said, God, if you can use me, I'm yours. And when I yielded to the Holy Spirit, you know, it was like, I think He said, okay, He's a gentleman, He won't push Himself on you, I mean, but if you yield to Him, it was like He gave me both barrels. And I thought, well, what was that really like, you know? And I tried to think what it was really like, a couple weeks ago, something happened to me. I thought, that's what it was like. And I had this big floor jack. I mean, a big one from Napa with a big handle that's about this tall. And I was out in the driveway working on something, and I drug that thing back into the garage, you know, and I look, and there's a rock in the handle of it stuck there, just a little rock. And I'm trying to get it out of there, and it fell down in the handle. Oh, no. What am I going to do now? And I got this bright idea. And it's a heavy jack. And I thought, if I just pick the end up, the handle will fall down and it'll roll out, right? Well, I picked the jack up. And when I picked the jack up, it was really heavy. I mean, it's a big jack. And I thought, I can't do this. So instead of setting it down, I dropped it. And when I dropped it, I dropped the jack. Well, the handle went like that. It come right back up and it hit me in the head. And just about staggered me. You know, I thought, well, man, it's been a long time since I got hit that hard. And it was sort of like that, you know. That's what it was like when I yielded to the Holy Spirit. And it was, all of a sudden I couldn't get enough of God, you know. I couldn't get enough reading the Word. I couldn't get pray. I mean, everything was like dramatic. And I just think Holy Spirit was just trying to give me something to remember. And then it was so dramatic. I remember I got called in before the church board, and they just wanted to know what happened. And I told them, you know, and I remember there was a lady there, and she says that, well, it sounds like revival to me. Well, she was exactly right. It was revival. I'd come from the, you know, sort of alive. It was a sort of a, what'd Phil call it the other week there, a nominal Christian? I think that's sort of what I was, you know. But all of a sudden, I had this beginning of a relationship to start to take place. And I even had a coworker, and he said, "Well, what's happened to you?" He said, "You don't seem so angry and so uptight all the time." And so I told him, and then Sid told me that Nathan had told her that. It just seemed like there was a lot of Christianity. He was 9 years old. There was a lot of Christianity going on. So, you know, I say he was 9 years old. Christianity. So he seen something too. It wasn't just in me. It was in a lot of other people too, that things were happening, you know. I'm thinking it was 1988 or 7, 8 maybe, that we came into the church here at Grace Fellowship. And when we first came in, like I said, the charismatic movement was still pretty strong, and there was always a lot of things happening. You know, the Holy Spirit was moving and teaching us about faith, gifts, and of the Spirit, and the God still heals, about tongues interpretation. And I remember one thing. One guy I remember, Steve Champion, always operated in this gift, tongues and interpretations. And Diane Lawson, is Diane here? You know, and worship and prophecy were going on, you know. But about in the 1990s, Grace Fellowship was looking for an apostolic covering. You know, you had the prophetic, and then the apostles started to come into play too. God was just showing a lot of things to the church. And we were looking for a covering here at Grace Fellowship. And we would go to these apostolic conferences and prophetic apostolic conferences. We went to, there were some in Cincinnati. I remember there was one in Cleveland we went to. And Dr. Bill Hammond, Christian International, and Apostle Chuck Clayton, who was the apostle here for years. There was another one, what was it, Prophetic Businessman's Conference. You know, they gave a lot of opportunity to receive prophetic ministry, which I did. It was funny that I did because I was such a wallflower. I like to be in on it, but I didn't want to be the front man, you know. I didn't want to be the front man. And one of the first prophetic words I received was from Chuck Clayton. And he said, I saw in the spirit that I was working on something round like a disc. That, you know, that got my attention because I knew exactly what it was. I was underneath this log skidder, right? And this log skidder, it was a John Deere 440C, and there's a disc brake there, like right behind the tranny. And I was laying there, and I was so discouraged and felt so just like I just wanted to give up, you know. God had showed him that to get my attention. And then he said, I can see a lot of frustration. God wants to do something in your life if you'll let him. Okay? That seems to be the key. If you'll let him. And another prophecy I got, and these are just these. Some of these prophecies were a page and a half long, but these are just little blurbs that came out of some of them. Another prophecy: I see a lot of anxiety in your life, a lot of questions, a lot of fears. You know who you are. I know who you are, and I know where you're going. If you'll sit down and relax, and let me impart to you, some things are going to change. You know, the Holy Spirit was imparting the gifts of prophecy to other believers so that I could mature in my relationship with God. I believe God was in a process of changing the nature of my relationship from fear to a relationship of love. Think about if fear has a hold of you, it not only is in your relationship with God, but it's in everything you do. It had a hold on me. I'd like to read 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to be punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know, so if fear is the stronghold that motivates my relationship for God, then fear wars against all that is in me from God. You know, it wars. If you have peace, faith, think about it. Peace, faith, anything that is from God, if it's warring against fear, it really has a hard time really sustaining. Your motivation from God has to be a love relationship. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of us. And I'd like to read in 1 Timothy 1:7. Or 2 Timothy. For God does not give us a spirit of timidity, which in most translations it says fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Well, that's what God wants to give us. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. So where does that fear come from? You know, I had a breakthrough in that. After all this, you know, I had a breakthrough, and I don't remember what year it is or was, but maybe Scott does, because he was there, Scott Kennedy. And Our church decided to do an evangelistic golf scramble, right, up here at the country club. And Pastor Scott Carlson, he asked me, he says, would you give your testimony? Oh, sure, I'd love to do that, you know. Why, that was the thing that I feared most, was having to get up and speak before anyone, you know, a group. And I prepared what I was going to speak on, and I was so much fear in him. I thought, how am I ever going to be able to stand up there and talk to these people without, just crumbling before them? And I took this paper over. There's a beside next door. There's a like a picnic ground, and I went over there and I walked around there, reading and reciting this testimony. And as I did, I don't know how God did it, but I just cried like a baby, and it sort of broke something in me. And Scott and Babs were our golf partners that day. Scott was even saved yet. Scott was not saved, so God was working on me, but he was working on Scott too, the Holy Spirit. So I guess that's his story, Lo. But anyways, when I did give my testimony, it was like, it wasn't a big deal at all. It was nothing. And God had broken that fear in me. He had broken it. And Lo, even, it's funny, if I feel it even to start creeping back in, if I got to do something like this or whatever, all I have to do, I learned this, say, I'm God's servant. And it's just like Eve was a couple weeks ago, she was talking about, all of a sudden I'm justified, and it's gone, you know, the fear is gone. Amazing, you know. In 2017, Pastor Phil and Scott Kennedy and myself, we had the opportunity to go to Tanzania to teach at the Kilimanjaro Christian School, and that was a huge stretch for me. I don't know about Scott, but it was a huge stretch for me, and we had to prepare our lessons, and we're going to be speaking before a group of pastors and a few ladies that had different positions in the church, and they were working towards their bachelor's degrees. And our curriculum was church history, and Scott had a part, and I had a part. Even though it was a big stretch for me, you know, to go to another country, you have to speak through an interpreter and all that. Even though it was a big stretch, something started happening to me. At 2 o'clock every night that I was teaching, around 2 o'clock, very close to 2 o'clock, I would wake up, and I'd have all this stuff that the Holy Spirit was telling me, and it would fit right into my lesson just perfectly. And so I knew from experience, I have to write it down, because if I don't write it down in the morning, I'll know that I had it, but I can't remember the details. Okay? So anyways, it was like God saying, I'm with you. You know, even in this, the Holy Spirit is with me. You know? I was thinking, what is God doing in us right now? In you, I know what he's doing in me. My relationship with the Holy Spirit seems to be so much more intimate as we do praise and worship, or even during the day, as I'm listening to my radio or whatever. I mean, I can just feel the Holy Spirit just rise up in me, and he's making or causing my relationship to be closer and closer. That's what he's doing in me right now. And it reminded me of when one of my grandchildren were born, and I went to the hospital to see him for the first time. And here's this little baby, right? I've never met this child before in my life, but the love for this child is so great. It's like, how can this even be right or natural? I never met this baby before, and the love was just rising up. And I thought, you know, this is like God is. God, you know, we're created in his image. And God loved us so much, you know, that he sent his only begotten son, that we could be saved to be in relationship with him. You know, it's just been an incredible journey that I know everyone that I've been on, but everyone has their own journey that they've been on, and I know we all have what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. You know, but I just thought this morning, that's really all that I had, but I thought I would hate not to give someone the opportunity, two opportunities this morning. One, if you've never accepted Christ before, like I said, it was the best thing I ever did. Second best was sitting right there. But it was the best thing that I ever did was accepted Christ. I know, I don't know where I would be right now, but I wouldn't be standing here, I don't think. I know I wouldn't. Well, of course you know I wouldn't if I wouldn't have accepted Christ. I'd probably be like looking through bars or something. But I would hate for someone not to give them the opportunity to accept Christ this morning. So, you know, I guess we at this point bow our heads, and if you are that person this morning that is the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and this is your day, just like it was my day back when I was like 10 years old, just raise your hand. You know, I mean, why wait if that's you? And this is every day is the day of salvation. This can be your day. You know, so I see that hand. So, and I'm gonna sort of combine these. And the other question: if you want a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, all I did, no one even prayed for, I prayed myself. I asked God that I was his, and I yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do is just yield to him and tell him that you want a closer relationship with him, and I know the Holy Spirit will come in and start to have that happen in your life. So if you want that, you know, just raise your hand. Just tell God, I want that. I see that hand. So, amen. I see that hand. Okay. So let's just let's pray together here. And you can just repeat after me. Father God, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that I'm a sinner, and I want you to come into my life now. And Father God, it's the desire of my heart that the Holy Spirit would have greater movement in my life. And I yield myself to the Holy Spirit to come in and show me more of you, God. Amen. Amen. So, so let me pray, and we'll dismiss, and be exciting to see next week what the pastor has been up to, and what word that he has for us next week. So, amen. Father God, we just thank you for being our God, Father, that we have a chance to be in your kingdom, Father. We have a chance to be in relationship with you. And we are just so thankful, Father. We just pray that you would bless these people as they go, that you would just lead us and guide us in everything we do this week. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.